Well, good morning, everyone. I'd like to thank the Knights and Ladies of the Equestrian Order of the Holy Sepulchre for getting up early and processing in with us today. And they certainly add an element of flair and pageantry to our procession. And we hope that in the future we will have many more of them in our parish. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Today is the solemnity of Christ the King. We hear a lot about kings in the Gospels. There was Herod the Great, who ruled over Judea as a Roman satellite at the time of the birth of Jesus. It was he who sent the three wise men to Bethlehem and who was responsible for the slaughter of the innocent children there. His son, Herod Antipater, was the tetrarch or ruler of Galilee. He was the king who married his brother's wife and beheaded John the Baptist. He was also the king who tried to question Jesus on the night he was arrested, but Jesus would not answer him. His son, Herod Agrippa, was brought up in Rome and was a childhood friend of the emperor Caligula, which is not a great character recommendation. Caligula made Agrippa the ruler of Judea, where he persecuted the Christians. He put St. James to death and imprisoned St. Peter and St. John. These Herodian kings were very unpopular with the people. They were more Greek and Roman than Jewish, and they did not practice their faith. Instead, they lived the lives typical of Oriental despots, cruel, luxurious, selfish, and insecure. There were also other kings and queens in the areas surrounding Israel, and of course, over them all was the Roman Empire, ruled by the Caesars, who were kings in all but name. Jesus came into this unstable political world proclaiming the coming reign of God, the kingdom of heaven. He was known to be of the tribe of Judah and as a descendant of King David. And in Jewish eyes, the only true monarchs were those of the house of David. Of course, they had not ruled for over 600 years, but that only increased the hunger of the people for what they regarded as a legitimate ruler. Jesus was also a relative and an associate of John the Baptist, who had been arrested and then killed for opposing the king. And among Jesus' followers and sympathizers were zealots and revolutionaries, the poor and various outcasts from society. Jesus usually called himself by a mysterious title, the Son of Man. But he also described himself on several occasions as the Messiah. And Messiah was a royal title. In Hebrew, it means the anointed one, just as Christos does in Greek. And the ancient kings of Israel were anointed with oil, just as Samuel had anointed King David. Jesus told his disciples, as he told Pilate, that his kingdom was not of this world. But he did not deny that he was a king. And so we can perhaps understand why the political and religious rulers of the time were jealous and afraid of him. And I think their fear was not without reason. For although Jesus' kingdom was not of this world, it still had political implications and effects in this world. Jesus did not want political power or land or money, but he did want justice and kindness and mercy. He wanted the good news preached to the poor and those in prison. He wanted the sick to be healed and those who were spiritually dead to be brought back to life. To the sick and the poor, to outcasts and sinners, Jesus offered the possibility of a new life. They did not always accept that possibility, but at least it was offered to them. But to those who were in power, to the comfortable and wealthy, Jesus' message was a challenge to repent and reform their lives. It was a challenge to conversion, to turn away from earthly pursuits and worldly judgments, and to begin to live the life God intended for us from the beginning. The kings and princes, the wealthy and powerful in Jesus' time, did not want to hear that message, and they still do not want to hear it today. They shut their eyes to suffering and their ears to the cry of the poor. Instead, they set up idols for themselves, made in their own image. God does not exist, they say. He does not hear us. He does not see us. To which we as Christians must respond, Does not he who made the ear hear, and does not he who made the eye see? God will come to judge the earth and all its inhabitants. His judgments may be slow, but they are certain and they are just. Let us remember that judgment and the divine call to love God and one another, and so prepare our lives to meet Christ our King when he comes again in all his glory. Then, with all the saints and angels, may we proclaim him, saying, Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, King David's royal son. Hosanna in the highest. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.